If you're going shopping for a new razor, you might notice that a pink razor costs a few dollars more than a blue one. This markup is known as the pink tax. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Today on the show, we're going to hear more about the pink tax and learn about gender inequality in our economy and in countries around the world with our guest, Yusan Wang. She is an associate professor of economics in the College of Business and Economics at UW-Whitewater. So as we talk with our guest, I hope you'll join in. Have you noticed a difference in the price of products marketed to men versus women? How would you solve the economic inequality you see in your life? Give us a call. The number's 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. Yusan, welcome to the show. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Hi, thank you for inviting me here.
Well, let's start with some more of the basics about a pink tax and what it really is.
Pink tax refers to the premium price on goods and services marketed to women relative to men. It is a gender-based price discrimination, which means that women are charged higher prices than men for similar or same products, such as, like you mentioned, razors or dry cleaning services. While price markup for women's product is not an actual tax, as related to the topic, sometimes even considered as a subset of pink tax, so-called tampon tax is also frequently referred. In this case, it is an actual sales tax imposed on women's menstrual products, such as tampons or pads. So, given necessity of these products for women's health, applying a tax to these products is also seen as inequitable.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm thinking the pink tax was popularized, I think, around the mid-1990s when the Gender Tax Repeal Act of 1995 passed in California, prohibiting price discrimination on services. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. Yeah, California's Assembly Office research found about 64% of stores in five majority cities in California charged more to wash and dry clean a woman's blouse than they did a man's button-up shirt. Given that cost to washing those two shirts are the same, it is a price discrimination. So that actually helps to following year, like you mentioned, the Gender Tax Repeal Act passing into California to prevent pink tax.
Yeah, I'm wondering, is this just intentional discrimination on the part of companies? You wonder why these disparities exist in the first place.
I wouldn't say that it is intentionally that try to create gender discrimination. It is mainly due to a simple business strategies to pursue more profit. So I would say maybe two business practices contribute to this. Mostly, the first is a business strategy that is called price discrimination. That is when business charges different prices across different buyers. For example, senior discount for the restaurant meal. You know, in this case, as far as business can receive a higher price than their cost, a business can gain more profit by setting different prices for different customers. Business can sell more products and gain more profit. The second is a business strategy called product differentiation. Product differentiate, basically, businesses differentiate their product to make products more attractive to particular target market. Product differentiation doesn't necessarily mean quality differences. So if a customer feels different, that is product differentiation. So business can differentiate products by altering the color as a pink, such as, or packaging, and associated with a marketing advertisement, they deliver different feelings to buyers about the same or similar product. Businesses differentiate products and charge different prices and in doing so, are able to increase their sales and profit. So, however, if you think a bit further, those typical gender stereotypes and expectations are also closely intertwined with these business practices. Traditional gender norms put different responsibility and expectation between men and women. There has been more emphasis on appearance for women than men. This will make women spend more money on personal care and appearance. So consequently, both strategies can reinforce and emphasize gender stereotypes as well. Hmm. Also, of course, there is more impact
later. Yeah. I was thinking about my own experience. Of course, I'm a man, but there was a sporting goods store that had a file that I wanted for sharpening hooks. And it was, I don't know, I think it was $9. So I went down to the hardware store and I bought the same file for 99 cents.
Yeah, absolutely. Even I found out, you know, the tools, for example, if it's pink colors, it's much more expensive than it is just a gender neutral color. Yes. So definitely it is everywhere for the variety of products in our everyday lives.
Well, you do find out that store brand products are cheaper than the kind of the name brand, shall we say, products. And that just, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, I guess from the company's perspective, what? It's just a way maybe to sell a few more products?
So basically, you're talking about generic brand name, right? So sometimes when a company initiate the first, invent the product first, then it creates some brand loyalty by, you know, providing that, like, okay, this higher price is not simply about the price differences. This is quality differences, especially for medication and things. You know, when first new medication occurs, there is patent on those products, and then that creates some exclusive right for the business, or that pharmaceutical company can produce those products only by certain time of period until patent expired. After that, business doesn't have exclusive right to sell the product anymore, then what? Generic drugs appears. So brand name and brand loyalty, not only for because of that certain, somehow it's not related with much for the gender, but brand name and loyalty is creating certain expectation. At the same time, they use that as a marketing strategy to create more customer base. Yes.
I wondered, just thinking about this overall, how does the pink tax affect the financial well-being of women? In other words, how can paying more, that can add up, I would guess. I imagine there's been some more work on that.
Oh, that's pretty sharp point. I'm glad you asked that question, because that's a very important question when we think about the pink tax. Even if the dollar differences per item might be a small amount, when it is a product that is purchased repeatedly, the amount of pink tax accumulated over time is much more significant burden, financial burden and amount for woman over time. And if I say a little further, given that woman earn less than men, and, you know, for example, a current full-time working woman on average of 84 cents for every dollar paid to men, and the woman face fewer opportunities for better jobs and promotions. And given this situation, this pink tax puts a proportionally higher economic burden on women, since they end up spending more due to pink tax and they have less income. It is a very widely proven fact that women face gender inequality in the labor market. So in general, women earn less than men, but pink tax makes women spend more money on similar product than men. It increases inequality.
Hmm. Our guest today, Yun San Hua, and she is... Wow, I'm sorry.
My last name is Hua. It's very difficult, yes.
Well, I'm going to say Yoon Sun is an associate professor of economics in the College of Business and Economics at UW Whitewater. And I'm wondering, how have you noticed a difference in the price of products marketed to women versus men? How would you solve the inequality you might see? Have you had an experience of this type? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to WPR News. Thanks for joining us today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. We're taking a look at the pink tax. Why women pay more? Should they be paying more? No, I don't think so necessarily, for sure. It's costing a lot in many different ways. And maybe you've experienced this yourself or noticed it. I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. How do they, we were talking about measuring the financial well-being here. How do scientists actually measure gender inequality in the economy? And why is it, it's an important thing to keep track of, I'm sure.
Are you asking me question?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very good question. Measuring gender inequality is not simple because it encompasses all areas of economies and our lives. So most common and typical approaches we use is through observable measurement in the labor market, such as gender disparity in employment, earnings, or promotions, because collecting data is relatively easy and approachable. However, it is not perfect. Economists have tried to make an index to broadly measure gender inequality in societies, which include gender empowerment measure or gender inequality indexes by United Nations. That's for example, but there are many others. One of the examples I use multiple times in my research is gender empowerment measure that is try to reflect gender status across different countries. So GEM tried, I call the GEM as a gender empowerment measure, that tries to measure women's political empowerment using, for example, share of women's parliamentary seats or an economic empowerment using percentage share of women's leadership position in business, such as professional and managerial jobs percentage. And also it includes women's relative income as a power over economic resources using GDP per capita. That's one example. And another example, GII, which in this case, try to reflect gender-based disadvantages in dimensions like health, empowerment, and labor market. So we try to keep increasing that, you know, try to have a more accurate and more representative measurement. As a scholar and economist, they kept trying, but it's very hard to measure it.
Yeah, yeah. Tanya in Stevens Point, thanks for joining in. What's on your mind?
Hi, Larry. So, yeah, I agree. Not only are the clothes more expensive, but they're made so thin that sometimes you have to buy two shirts just so they don't see your bra. And then, sorry. And then there's no pockets. There's no convenience. They're not comfortable. They don't fit right. It's a lot of money to walk around and horribly uncomfortable all day. So thank God I don't really care about what I look like, and I shop at Goodwill, but I can't imagine. I see what my daughters spend on their clothing drives me crazy.
Tanya, thanks for calling. Comment on that, Yoon Sun?
That's basically, you know, addressing that how different sometimes between men and women's clothes with little differences, you know, in functioning manner or some design and color. Yeah, that's what we are looking at too. Yes.
Yeah, and so they're more expensive, but they're easier to make. In a lot of situations, you're saying, and it costs more. Oh, so we're paying you less money, but at least you have to pay more for what you buy.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Another, can I add one more? Because of her comment point out how expensive it is. And I was thinking about this is important factor too. If we consider exceptionally high poverty rate for female-headed household, the pink tax will proportionally burden to poor women more and making gender inequality even worse. And if we even consider further about the highest poverty rate exists for Black and Hispanic female-headed households, that itself resembles that pink tax also deepens racial, gender, and wealth inequality in society. So, for example, considering a tampon tax, which is necessary for women only, then economic impact on inequality will be even bigger because they have to spend much more money and financial burden for product necessary only for women who is poorer than men, and that make wealth inequality worse. So, but if you think about necessaries such as groceries are exempt from sales tax, female period product still have sales tax in several states, including Wisconsin.
Yeah. Helen in Two Harbors, we'll go to you now. Helen, thank you for calling.
Hi. I grew up in the late 60s and 70s. And when I was in about fifth grade, I had a tendency towards what I've always called cross-dressing. I liked boys' cords and T-shirts and that sort of thing. And my mom preferred that I dress a little girlier. And so when we would go shopping for school clothes, especially in junior high school, she'd be like, how about this? And I'm like, no, I want, you know, the jean style corduroys. And one of my arguments was, but mom, these are less expensive, when I was shopping in the boys section. And I've continued to notice that throughout my life. If I buy a pair of whatever, you know, equivalent, you know, it depends on what color the tag is, blue or pink.
Oh, gosh. Comment on that, Sunyan?
I think it is a very excellent point. In fact, according to government report from Joint Economic Committee in 2016, they listed specific items that clearly show pink tax. It includes, obviously, a higher price for children's toys, bike, and bike helmets when they are simply a pink. Also, you know, they include office products such as pens, mouse for computers, and tools we just talked about. They just put the pink color and charge it much more price. So no wonder that actually I also experienced that one too. And I'm glad somebody also noticed that without, you know, especially addressing this topic. But that's exactly what we are talking about.
Thanks very much, Helen, for that comment. Appreciate it very much. You can join in too. Number to call 800-642-1234, or you can email to talk@wpr.org. Listener emailed identifying themselves as an adult female, frustrated with trying to find heavier denim work jeans. Going to a farm supply store, there are lots of options available for men, but none for women. In addition, when buying things like athletics, socks, women pay more for poorer quality socks than from the same manufacturer. The listener said they now buy athletic socks in the men's department, despite having a little bit extra fabric in their shoes. So what do you think about that, Yoon-sun?
I think that's a very smart idea to save money and then don't need to be, pay pink taxes. I sometimes do that too, but I go to a little bit of sometimes children's section for the, boys, because my socks is someone needed to be smaller. Yes, but that's very smart, I think.
How does economic inequality affect a woman differently depending on maybe her race or, ability or income level?
First of all, I would say that, women in general as a group, if you think about gender, that's not just a simple biological differences like sex. So it's a social construct that grants different rights and responsibility by gender between men and women. It changes over time and across cultures. So inequality, gender inequality influenced both women and men over time across the world. It historically put women in subordinate and disadvantaged position in society. If you talk about more of women are belong to every other group. If you talk about racial inequality, well, in any race, woman is also half of the population. So when you combine those racial inequality, then we can also see that, as I pointed before, the highest poverty rate, for example, that is for female-headed household, especially across the racial differences, Black female household, and or Hispanic female-headed household showed very high rate. That shows that economic burden for being a woman and female-headed household make more difficult to overcome those inequalities. Well, yeah.
Yeah, and is this true across the world, or does it vary much across the world?
I would say across the world, gender inequality varies. Well, however, one common fact is there are no countries where women has a more advantages or superior status than men. So that element are the same. Yes.
Oh, man. So what steps can we take to eliminate this pink tax?
Steps to eliminate the pink tax have already started at federal level and at the state levels too. At the federal level, the Pink Tax Repeal Act is introduced in the House and waiting now. At the state level, two states, California and New York, officially banned the pink tax. So for tampon tax, which is related, even more states already eliminated the sales tax on female period products. So for me, I think it's important. First steps are that we are aware of the issue, understand the impact of pink tax on individuals, and maybe we can support the legislation to remove the pink tax.
Yeah, I think that's a really... really important. I actually wondered about lending institutions and things of that nature. Does that come up if you go to get a loan?
When you say lending institution, what do you mean?
A bank. Let's say I wanted to borrow some money.
Oh, yes, yes. Actually, one of my students, I teach gender, race, gender, and economic justice at Whitewater. And at the end of semester, I gave them choose their own topic. One of my students choose pink tax, but he focused on actually different mortgage rate between women and men. So in financial sector, women still pay more when they borrow the money. Yes, so I would say that exists. Uh-huh. And yeah.
And what about insurance?
Insurance. It is also related, but like for now, I cannot think about detail about those research outcome or something related to insurance, because they calculate risk factors that the probability the event occurs. So sometimes the ages of drivers, for example, if you're looking at driving insurance, that's matter. So in this case, I don't have clear examples for.
Well, I want to I want to thank you so much, Yoon Sun, for taking time to be with us today. I appreciate it. And I hope we can do this again. Yoon Sun Kwa is an associate professor of economics in the College of Business and Economics at the University of Wisconsin, Whitewater. Interesting to talk with her about the pink tax. Hey, tomorrow, Jill and I and a whole bunch of more people will be in Bayfield, and we'll be there to usher in kind of Bayfield in bloom, and we'll be taking, gee, we've got lots of guests. We have four guests, two guests for each hour of the show to talk about a little bit different topics relating to gardening. You can come visit us at the Bayfield Pavilion, or if you want, just listen online and know that you can call in with your questions and comments. Thank you so much for listening, and stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.